Thanks to Matthew as well for the great organisation of today, and to Laura, Michael and Kieran for the really kind invitation to be involved in the SA Film Festival in some way. I'll come back to all of those issues, but I just kind of wanted to pause on my free associational choice of PowerPoint template. Who knows why we come up with these things, but I can see now if the camera is the pen, then editing is the ink. And in a way, editing found footage is really the kind of end result of the journey that Michael alluded to earlier. Is this a third-hand use of cinema? Is this therefore an even more degraded notion than second-hand cinema, as we kind of, as facsimile follows facsimile in a digital kind of series of iterations? What about the value of these things? Because I think that's kind of going to be pretty central to what I'm going to talk about. But yes, this is part of the festival, and I'm, you know, this is an enormous joy to have happening on your own doorstep. And it takes me back to where I began to be interested in these matters, which really was, again, through Michael Temple, Mike Witt, and James Williams, the conference at the Tate Modern in 2001, Forever Godard, where not only did I meet Laura and actually Krista and a whole bunch of other people who were working on these matters, I saw a huge amount of Godard's work, which I had never seen before, really even heard much about at that stage. I also saw some of Anne-Marie Mieville's work. And I saw some experimental presentations at that conference, some amazing uses of PowerPoint, certainly, but also digital montage, and a particularly memorable one by Vicky Callahan. And I have to say, when I think back to where my own interest comes from that conference, it comes from that immersion in Godard's work, and it comes from the way that scholars there treated that work. So I just wanted to pay homage to Michael as, you know, somebody who really changed the way, I think, that so we saw Godard in the UK, and that we saw video work in the UK. So I have a little kind of playful title of Film Studies Plays Itself, which is clearly what is going on, and the onanistic reference embedded in that title is, I think, deliberate. Is it just a masturbatory exercise, just because we can use video in film studies and film criticism now? Should we? These are all kind of questions in the background. But one of the most important things for me is, a conference that I went to a couple of years ago in Frankfurt, organized by Adrian Martin and Cristina Alvarez López, who are two of the most prominent film critics in online film culture, but also video essayists and film essayists. And it was really going to Frankfurt, being forced to think about Frankfurt theory and the Frankfurt School and the essay and Adorno and so on, that maybe kind of realized there was something I needed to revisit very desperately in this work. And in particular, I was struck by Vincenz Hedegaard's use of a quotation from Walter Benjamin's PhD thesis, where he said, criticism is an experiment performed on the work of art. And although I had certainly associated what was going on in online film culture with experimentalism, I hadn't really thought about it in that way, and since then have been thinking in that way. I've written this and said this many times, but a quick survey of what am I talking about? What is videographic film and moving image studies in the context of essayism? And for me and others, it's creative, critical, and above all, performative film studies practices on found footage, reframing and remixing audiovisual excerpts from a variety of original sources. But equally important, and very important for me to emphasize today, what is different about this work from everything that's been said about even video work earlier today, is that the work I'm talking about is that which is published online, that circulates online. It's a particular dispositif or series of dispositifs, if you like, that I think I'm talking about in a different way from a general tradition of the essay film. And in this work online, we can see already a variety of forms emerging. The background here is that we're talking about film critical culture, magazines like Sight and Sound commissioning video essays, other commercial concerns like the Criterion Collection and so on, commissioning work. And then this work being available for free online, and therefore kind of rubbing up against all of the other work that is available for free that is produced out of fan culture. And often when we're watching these things, we're not really that aware of what context it's coming from. in a way, that's what some of the commercial concerns want us to think. It's a sort of loss leader activity to attract us to their brand. Very successful in my experience. And it therefore just sort of happens that you can click on all of this stuff in a way. But within this work, as I said, a variety of forms are emerging. Some are very clearly explanatory and therefore seem to fit seamlessly into a kind of documentary appropriation for film studies or film critical purposes. And others clearly situate themselves at what Christian Keithley has said is the opposite end of the spectrum, the poetic or experimental end, which may or may not have an awareness of previous forms of poetic and experimental audiovisual culture, but often do. Now, I come across a lot of this work when I was sort of surveying things for my blog, Film Studies for Free, but I quickly became aware that to have a very narrow scholarly conception of this work would be ridiculous. And also that this whole amount of work questioned the notion of the scholarly in really interesting ways, and Michael sort of surveyed some of those. But it also coincides with debates raised by Laura Mulvey in her 2006 book around what digital affordances have done for us in general. And Laura's coined the notion of the pensive spectator following her earlier conception of the possessive spectator, and suggested that the digital affordances allow us to both possess and to be thoughtful about this new form of these new forms of images and sounds in interesting ways, particularly around the idea of the DVD remote control. But I'm particularly interested in Laura's conception of these processes as not always rational. In fact, interestingly not rational, and therefore opening up a space, which I think this work does in its production but also in its consumption, for associative work, for reflection on resonance and connotation, for the identification of visual clues, the interpretation of cinematic form and style, and ultimately personal reverie. And this is certainly, as a maker, my experience of moving into this sphere. And so what we're having is a whole generation of people in a culture in which, of course, everyone can be a filmmaker, coming to understand that everyone can be a video editor, and therefore engage in this kind of experimental work around essaying. As Christian Keithley has said, as film scholars and critics, we can now write using the very materials that constitute our object of study, images and sounds, but doing this demands rethinking conventional critical forms, and lots of experimenting must be done. And, you know, I can only say that I've taken up this challenge, and I've made, I don't know, about 120 videos since 2009. And that's, you know, to say that obviously I find this a little bit easier than writing, because my writing hasn't been that prolific in the same period, although I've actually written quite a lot of things about this practice now. But one of the things that I've discovered in my own practice, both as a curator and a maker, is that one of the differences about digital video essaying is that its display, if you like, is a mosaic one, almost always. I'm going to show you some videos today, but they're going to be projected. That's not really what they were made for, and we're all delighted when they are projected. But they were made for smaller screens. They were made for smaller screens within smaller screens, adjacent to text and other distractions. Therefore, they have to capture attention in particular ways, but they also have to relate to the rest of this, what Kevin Beley would probably call a kind of desktop landscape of the digital interface. And Jonathan Rosenbaum, I think, wrote really memorably about this back in 2009, and another scholar who has written memorably about the idea of the mosaic screen is Sergio Díaz Blanco, in an article of that name that you can find if you Google it, around the same time. So I already mentioned the Frankfurt conference, and it was really at the Frankfurt conference where, even though I was aware of an essay film tradition and had indeed written about it, having written about Godard and Mieville, I really began to think about the connections. And it was, in a way, a program that Cristina Alvarez López and Adrian Martin programmed at that conference that made the connections, going back to Joseph Cornell, coming right through to some of the videos that I'm going to show you in a second. And they very memorably call the audiovisual essay. They don't like the term video. We can come back to nomenclature later if people are so inclined. I tend to avoid those discussions. They say that the audiovisual essay is a child of at least two mothers, a tradition of research and experimentation that comes from the avant-garde film and video tradition, and particularly all that which is found under the rubric of found footage work. And then there is the essay film, or film essay, the historic breakaway from supposedly objective documentary, which stresses the elements of the personal and the reflective, and which has spawned many subforms in the digital age. So I'm going to just be really assertive rather than argumentative here and just say what I think some of the other differences are beyond this mosaic screen and greater reliance on text in the video essay that is emerging. There is a much wider spread and a much greater amount of work. It produced just since YouTube came into existence in 2004, 2005, okay? You know, many, many, many people are producing this kind of thing. There is therefore an inbuilt greater ephemerality to that work, a less preciousness. It's also less commodified directly. You know, it might be part of a commodification plan, but it, in terms of the individual appearance of these works online, as I say, most of them are free to watch. There is also, because of the rapidity of making them, it really is very easy to make these things now, often a call and response structure, which I think is much more fluid than in either the earlier historical avant-garde or the essay film tradition. Somebody makes an essay and somebody responds quite quickly in this kind of culture. So videos are frequently made rapidly in response to others, and you can see the essay video has become this organ of instantaneous comment. Which can be immediately consumed and virally spread. And, you know, some of these makers are incredibly viral, with millions of views and hits within weeks or less. But as Michael said, we are also trying to find a way of recording this culture and perhaps even in some sense assessing it in a scholarly context. And I just wanted to draw your attention before I move on to showing you some things to In Transition, the peer-reviewed journal I'm co-editing, which is just about to publish its next issue tomorrow, which is our first fully peer-reviewed issue of with some amazing videos. So I want to show you three videos in the time that remains to me. And this one is, I'm not going to show you the complete version, I'm actually going to show you an excerpt from this. This is a film that Kevin Beeley made following a commission from me in 2012 for the online journal Frames. And I wanted to show it for obvious reasons. It is an engagement with Haroun Farooqi's work in Interface or Schnittstelle. Okay, so that's a pretty powerful piece on the small screen, and it's a very powerful piece on the big screen. And it's a remarkable piece of work. It's a tour de force, and it's even by Kogonada standards, and he's pretty brilliant in everything he does. There's something about this essay that is a cut above, if you like. It just feels fresh and original in every way. It, as a scholarly object, it rubs up people I know who work on neorealism something rotten. They say, this isn't neorealism. But I love the fact that it's a kind of an in-your-face gesture, and it's exactly what you need to do online to get people to watch your work. And of course, it does teach us something very real about neorealism. But what it does is also situate itself in an experimental register, a very subjective and very doubtful register. It was the first time I'd ever heard Kogunada's voice, having watched a lot of his montages. And as soon as I heard him, I thought, he sounds exactly like Tag Gallagher. Now, Tag Gallagher is one of the kind of fathers of the video essay form, making DVD essays. And he always sounds like, I'm being recorded, so I couldn't possibly say he sounds like he's on something, but he does sound like he's on something. There's a sort of really interesting and magical, mysterious quality to his voice that makes you at once believe him, and on the other hand, not believe a word he says. And I think Kogonada's voice at the beginning and his opening discourse kind of like imagine, you know, takes you into what Christy Keithley has said of this video when he curated it in Transition, into a kind of Borgesian register. Well, Borges used to delight in writing book reviews of books that didn't exist. And if this feels like a film study of films that don't exist, except that we know that they do exist. And so this is the realm that the online video essay is in and why it is so related to the film essay or the essay film. So I just want to bring you back down to earth and show you that actually anybody really can make these pieces of work. And I'm going to show you one of my short videos to show you kind of another performative comparison. Each of the videos I've shown you so far have performed a comparison in front of your eyes. This also does that. But it also, is, in a way, was my first detour into a consciously subjective use of this. I think I'd been playing, you know, my film studies had been playing safe with being pretty explanatory, pretty kind of in my own voice as a film scholar. And this was where something else happened in my work. Okay, so that was a little puzzle film that I now realize, as it's the beginning of a project, not the end of one, is a project about puzzles in cinema and puzzles in cinephilia, and how puzzles and the detective mode can really bring us to, you know, a form of cruel optimism that Lauren Berlant would call it, where, you know, what is it that makes us completely fascinated, like the little girl in The Hideaways, become invested in intellectual culture and the search for knowledge, and how often that is something very deeply personal, but also something much more broadly cultural and social and also economic. And yet it sort of, you know, is an experimental play on the puzzle film. And as Igor had sort of reminded me of the Philip Lope quote, that the essay film is a search to, or the essay is a search to find out what one thinks about something. That's exactly the mode in which I made this work. I started with a real puzzle that I didn't have the answer to. And even though at the time I thought I'd produced the answer through this film, what I found is an attachment to finding answers and looking for answers. So this is a kind of, if you like, this is the imperfect cinema end, you know, the kind of low, the really lo-fi, low-budget, low-skill version of the spectrum of work that's appearing online. But of course, it's also a fan work. It's absolutely a film about being a fan of Journey to Italy and The Hideaways. And so I leave you with that as an example of what anyone can do. Thank you.